Welcome back to Nachiyomi. Today we are completing our first Sefer. We are completing Sefer Yehoshua, Perek Chof Daled, the 24th chapter. So as you've been working through this together, take an extra muffin or something celebratory for our first Siyum and spread the wealth. This is our opportunity to regain our momentum as we start Sefer Shoftim very soon. In the meantime, let's follow through on Sefer, the last chapter. The last chapter is essentially one speech, which is where Yehoshua gathers together. This is another speech, different from the previous one, where Yehoshua gathers all the elders, all the policemen, all the leaders, and gathers them in a place called Shechem, and presents a very interesting history. He goes longitudinally back to the time that the nation of Israel were, you know, before they were even a nation. When he talks about Avraham, and Avraham used to live with his father Nachor, and his father Terach, and his brothers, and how they used to serve Avodah Zarah. This, in fact, incidentally, is the only explicit time in all of Tanakh that we know that Avraham's family served Avodah Zarah, and that Avraham's transformational journey. This is why the Haggadah on Pesach actually quotes this speech of Yehoshua as the origin of Mitchila of the Avodah Zarah Yavo Esenu, which is this, in fact, this passage which he starts with this history. And he goes on to describe the how HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose Avraham, chose Yitzchak, chose Yaakov, how they went down to Mitzrayim, Hashem brought them out and saved them all the way through and brought them through the desert, entered them into the land and made them successful against all their enemies in the desert. Whether it be, and he talks about in greater detail how Bilam was in fact at the head of the war front, not just as a sorcerer. And he talks about how Hashem saved Israel from all these dangers. And we're given some extra details, which are fascinating, about the war in which they fought against the Canaanites. We're told about this tzira, which is this fly. There's apparently some sort of insect which Hashem employed miraculously for the in the conquest of Israel. We're told about it in the Torah, but we never saw it actually happening. But now Yehoshua, in recounting it in the narrative, describes this. And so therefore Yehoshua says at the end of all this thing, at the end of this entire speech, he says, look, now you have the land, and you have the cities which you didn't build, the land which you didn't toil over. You basically got this all as a free gift. Serve God holy, truly and holy and completely. Remove all the Avodah Zarah. Remove all your other ideas from your hearts. This is Yehoshua's charge. What's the response? The nation's response is, Chalil alonu me'avazov as Hashem. They said, we'll never leave God. And they completely accept, they completely respond in the affirmative to Yehoshua that we will reject all other sources or other Avodah Zarah, and we're going to serve God. So Yehoshua is not sufficiently happy with just their verbal commendation. What he does is he says, you know what we need to do? We need to remove those Avodah Zarah that you talked about, and we're going to make a covenant right now. So what does he do? He writes down this entire conversation on a rock, and he places it in the place called the Mikdash Hashem, which Rashi explains to mean is that there the Aron has been brought to Shechem, and because it is in the abode of Shechem, it is the sanctuary of God right at this point in time, and this rock is used as a testimony to the future. And Yehoshua says it's going to be in the future, Tieh Bonu Le'eda, it will be a testimony, ki shama es kol imrei Hashem asher diber emono, that you agreed, you accepted, and this is what you wanted. And Yehoshua then let everybody go back to their respective countries and states. Now, at the end, the very tail end of this parak is where we're told that Yehoshua dies, and he is buried in his territory, which is in Har Ephraim, in Timnas Serach or Timnas Cheres, different versions of what the name is. And the Torah tells us two things which should really make us almost shiver when we hear it. One is when describing Yeshua's death, it says, Vayomash Yeshua bin Nun Eved Hashem. Yeshua, the servant of God, died. Wow. You know, the whole Sefer has been talking about how he was in the shadow of Moshe, Eved Hashem, Moshe, the servant of God. This is the first time that Yeshua is called Eved Hashem, because at the end of his life, he makes it. He wasn't just in the shadow of Moshe. He was his own man. That's what Tanakh is telling us. And in fact, the Psukim go to great lengths to say that Israel served Hashem all the times of Yeshua, all the length of the era of the Zakenim that lived after Yoshua. Meaning to say, this is an idyllic description over here of a leader who, without tarnish, really a beautiful description of leadership. And finally, the Perek concludes how they buried the bones of Yosef. Remember those bones that Yosef had in Egypt, which Moshe Rabbeinu took out, and they had throughout the whole desert. They buried them in Har Ephraim, in the area where he lived. And the book concludes with Elazar ben Aaron, who dies and is buried in Givas Pinchas. Elazar continued writing after Yeshua died, and he died, and that's the last pasuk of this parak. A few just things to ponder as we go through this, which are really fascinating. Just two points. Number one is, why is it that this happened in Shechem? The spiritual capital of Israel at this point in time is where the Mishkan is, which is in Shiloh. We saw that the Mishkan was established there in Shiloh. Why is are we focusing now on Shechem? So Rashi tells us in Bereishis that Shechem has a fascinating history. Rashi in Perek Lamed Zayin, Pasuk Yud Dalet in Bereishis, describes that Shechem is a dangerous place. Shechem is a, we'll call it a swing city, in the sense that it is muzumal muchana puranus, Rashi says. It's a place where dangerous things can happen, because we know that historically speaking, three terrible things happened there. Number one is, that was where Dina was raped. Number two is, that's where Yosef went down to see his brothers and was sold as a slave. And number three, that's where Rechavam, the son of Shlomo, as we're going to see later on, is going to split up the kingdom. So three things happen there which are terrible things. And if you think about them, they're actually one and the same. Rabbi Foreman once mentioned this a number of years ago. I remember when he was in Chicago, and he says the following. He says that if you think about it, each of those three incidents are about splitting up of brothers. You know, Dina, the whole episode of Dina was when the sons of Leah took umbrage at the fact that Yaakov was silent about the daughter of Leah, who was afflicted. And this was a great split between the brothers, if we read in between the subtext of the lines. Yosef being sold, of course, is the one side of the family selling the other side of the family, and when the split of the kingdoms happens with Rechav and Yerovam, of course it's Yehuda and Yosef once again. This is the place where dangerous things, where Israel can split at the seams. Yeshua brings them all together and he says, folks, at the end of my life, let's make sure we hold it together. Which may explain why it is that we have this funny anticlimax at the end of the Sefer, which is about the burial of Yosef's bones. I mean, like, do we really need to know this now? But yes, apparently we do, because in order to be able to move on in Jewish history, we need to bury the bones of Yosef. We need to come to the end of that circle where we can all be in harmony with one another, north and south, both kingdoms, both mothers, both sets of tribes. This is how Sefer Yoshua ends, and it ends in an idyllic way, because we hope and wish that we dive off into the next part of Jewish history where that harmony will continue. Unfortunately, Sefer Shoftim is going to be plagued with when this doesn't work. Sefer Shoftim is going to be plagued with individual tribes, individual states, factionalism, and finally civil war, which is, this is why Yoshua so much emphasized this particular part. Mazel tov for the finishing. Looking forward to continuing. Have a wonderful and meaningful day.